The following is an AUFans.com production. It's a new day, Auburn fans!
It's time, everybody! It's time for the AU Fans Podcast! Woo!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle.
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. Expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
Alrighty. There you go, Stanley. What do you say? Give it to us straight, man.
War Eagle, everybody, and welcome to this week's AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. Well, our Auburn Tigers ran their 2013 season record of 4-1 with an impressive, exciting win over the Ole Miss Rebels Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium, 32-22. This was by far the most impressive win for Auburn so far this season. It was the game where they looked the most complete on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game. Of course, we were playing a very dangerous Ole Miss Rebels team that was coming off a loss to Alabama the week before. But as I had said in last week's podcast, Ole Miss had had their chances to make that game much more interesting than it turned out to be. Of course, our Tigers started fast. We took the opening kick and drove it down the field for a touchdown, two-point conversion, which was open, by the way, looking back at it on film again. It should have been an easy two-point conversion, but we missed that. But we started out fast, going, leading 6-0 right off the bat. Of course, Ole Miss also drove the ball down there and got a field goal, which continued their Auburn's, defensive abilities to keep people out of the end zone a lot here, except for the LSU game. Of course, looking at the game and thinking about some of the highlights and areas we need to improve in, of course, the running game, the new wrinkle that Coach Malzahn put in where Nick Marshall carried the football a lot. And he looked, not as big, not as imposing as Cam Newton, but he looked very Cam-like in terms of his, his elusiveness. Nick ended up with 140 yards plus rushing for the game, and until he got hurt his knee at the end, we'll talk a little bit about that later, was pretty unstoppable on that read play that Auburn runs so well. So obviously Nick's running ability and just the running game in general, again, the offensive line continues to play extremely well. They've been there since the very first game. They've gotten better. And even in the loss to LSU, as I mentioned, they opened up a lot of holes against LSU. So this offensive line, if it continues to play at the level that it's playing, we've got a chance in every game, the rest of the year. Of course, the key going forward and to have, more success as we get in toward the end of the season and some really tough games, our passing game has got to improve. We keep missing some big plays that are there. Of course, Nick Marshall continues to show that his arm strength is not going to be his problem. But maybe the short, and we had some drops as well. We've got to clean that up. But overall, the offense, Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, Core Grant, they continue to run the football hard. We usually have about one receiver reverse. Ricardo Lewis had about a 14-yard gain on the play. So, again, we're mixing the plays up well, and the running game is really going maybe better than expected. But we've got to get that passing game to the next level, again, to have a chance in some of these later games. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, that Ole Miss, at 6-3, Ole Miss is driving down to maybe potentially take the lead when Robinson Therese comes up with a huge interception in the flat and goes roughly about 80 yards for the touchdown, which really turned the game around at that point. And, of course, talking about the defense, I think it was the defense's best game of the year when you consider that they did force a couple of interceptions and then the sacks. Auburn had six or seven sacks on Bo Wallace. Not to mention they had like 14 plays minus yards. I want you to think about that. I mean, those are not sacks, but they're runs, reverses, whatever they may be, passes in the flat where the defense came up and tackled behind the line of scrimmage for negative yards. So, I mean, that is just huge. It looks like each week that Coach Johnson continues to put his stamp on this defense. I mean, this is not the Auburn defense from the last couple of years. Now, what's interesting about that is that Auburn's defense currently ranks total defense, and this may come as a surprise, 13 out of 14 teams in the SEC Auburn is ranked. But there's no question this defense is better, and it's because I think we're giving yardage up between the 20s. But in the red zone, Auburn's red zone defense has been really good keeping people out of the end zone. And in fact, in scoring defense in the SEC, Florida and Alabama lead the SEC in scoring defense. They've only given up 12.2 points a game. But number three in scoring defense in the SEC is Auburn right now, 22 points a game. So, again, that just reinforces that idea that we have been giving up a lot of yardage. But when we get to the red zone, we've been holding people out, forcing field goal attempts and field goals. And so, you know, I don't know what the secret formula for Coach Johnson is when we get near the goal line, but something has been working. And again, it was on display again Saturday night as Ole Miss kicked three field goals before they scored a touchdown. And, of course, to me, the exciting part about this offense is we're still making a lot of mistakes. I mean, a lot of drop passes. Again, Nick's had Sammy Coates running behind the defense on several plays this year. Seems like there's almost one play a game where it's 6 points if they connect. And I know they continue to work on that, and they've actually converted some of those. You know, also, though, one of those turnovers that we had, and we had two turnovers in the fourth quarter. And again, if Auburn wants to beat some of these teams left on the schedule, they've got to eliminate turnovers. And certainly in the fourth quarter, where you've got the game almost iced away, I mean, we had driven the ball down to about their 10 or 15 yard line on first down. On a busted assignment up front, a Ole Miss linebacker shot the gap. The offensive guard on that side didn't pick it up. It was a stunt blitz and basically just caused the fumble before Nick could even hand it to Trey Mason, picked it up and you know, ran 30 yards downfield. I mean, that's something that we have to figure out a way to clean that up. I mean, you want at least to get 3 points down there, much less with it. It was first down. We could have run off another couple minutes of clock. Fortunately, the defense in this game really rose up on several occasions. We hold Ole Miss, we get the ball back, we have a big run by Cameron Artis Payne, and he fumbles. Now there was a long touchdown pass, Bo Wallace, but maybe their best play of the night, where Bo Wallace hit the receiver who had gotten behind. Of course, Ryan White, you know, looking at the replay several times, Ryan White's right there with him. I mean, it was a perfect throw. Best throw Bo Wallace probably had all night. And it was so far out in front, the receiver actually had to kind of tip it up and catch it himself. But that got the game interesting when really Auburn was dominating. Of course, again, the defense rose up at the end. Of course, after a great punt down to like the 1 yard line. And I mean, again, I can't overemphasize how much Stephen Clark and Cody Parkey mean to this football team. Folks, I'm telling you, the Auburn special teams up to this point has really been good. Cody Parkey's been kicking great. You know, he's been great on his field goal attempts for the most part. He did miss that one 54-yarder that seemed to me that was kind of rushed. I think Auburn right there maybe should have punted the ball, but if not, maybe take a timeout, because when they finally made the decision, he ran in there and he kicked it long enough, but he kind of kicked it straight where he was lined up, and it went to the right. But Cody Parkey's field goals and his kickoffs have been tremendous, and Stephen Clark, has just been right on. I mean, he had that one fumbled, punt where he fumbled a snap in the pouring rain. But other than that, he's had an All-American kind of year. Almost none of his punts have been returned. And just like Saturday night, he put that ball out at the one-yard line, and that was huge. Again, defensively, you know, that defensive front has really – I mean, Coach Gardner is doing a tremendous job with these guys. I mean, we didn't get any push. Well, we had as many sacks Saturday night as we had all last season. I mean, think about that. Six or seven sacks. I think they said six, and I think I counted seven. But as many sacks as we had last year, and we had a lot of pressure, D4. But really the most impressive thing to me Saturday night was the pressure from – Gabe Wright at the defensive tackle. Usually, if you can just get – you're not usually going to get a lot of sacks maybe from the defensive tackle position. Now, you see more of that coming off the end. But if that guy can get push, as Gabe was pushing that offensive guard back into the backfield and then actually got two sacks and then maybe had another tackle or so for a loss. I mean, what a tremendous game by Gabe Wright and really the whole defensive front. Again, the secondary continues to play great. Two interceptions again. I mentioned earlier, Therese's return for a touchdown. I mean, to give your offense, to give your team 6 points, that is just huge. Linebacking play has been improved. We had a tremendous game. Of course, we had a scary, scary moment when Casanova McKenzie, you know, went out with what appeared to be a more serious injury than it turned out to be. Still, any kind of neck injury is still not good, but he was, you know, back on the sideline walking around. And I understand he's been back at practice. They're probably going to hold him out of some contact with West Carolina this week. You probably don't want to take any chances. But Anthony Swaim came in, and he's jumped. He's been bounced around since he's been at Auburn. He was in the secondary, moved back to linebacker. Of course, he's a really big kid, and I think he was in on about 7 or 8 tackles and really was active, you know, coming in as a backup role. So just overall, I mean, it's really exciting to see how the defense is flying around. And they talked about, you know, Ole Miss ran almost 90 plays. I think it was 89 plays. And Auburn's defense at the end is, of course, they get 3 straight sacks. Carl Lawson is a true freshman. I mean, what a get. The Ole Miss defensive end, was supposedly the number one defensive end in the country with Carl Lawson number 2. But I think Carl Lawson showed why he was at least number 2 and maybe should have been number 1 with his performance Saturday night. So going forward again, we've got to clean up some mistakes. There is some concern about Nick Marshall's knee, and as I'm going to record this, they're still not saying exactly that. I understand they may have had to draw some fluid off of the knee, and there's even been discussions whether, you know, we might want to pull the red shirt off of Jeremy Johnson, the true freshman that Nick beat out. I personally believe that you may see a lot of Jonathan Wallace, who is a very capable quarterback, certainly against the likes of Western Carolina. With honestly, I mean, Auburn should be able to name their score even with their second team against Western Carolina. So this is a week. I know the coaches say we don't look ahead. Trust me, they're looking at Texas A&M, and of course, that's going to be a huge game we'll talk about here in a minute. So, again, eliminate turnovers. Some big plays on defense, but the defense is coming on. We're still giving up some plays. We're getting a third down and long and giving up those first downs, and I know Coach Johnson's not happy with that, but it looks a lot better. I mean, I think everybody I've talked to and witnessed it myself, this is just a completely different-looking Auburn team in terms of conditioning, enthusiasm, guys flying around. They don't hang their heads. You can see that the new day philosophy that Coach Malzahn brought with him has taken hold with the players. So that pretty much, you know, wraps up our game with Ole Miss. Again, it was a great defensive effort. The offense moved the ball on the ground. We've got to get more passing, but I think that will improve as we go along. Now, looking around the SEC coming up this week. Well, let's look back at what happened this past weekend. Florida did beat Arkansas 30-10 in the Swamp, a lot like I picked it last week. I really think that Arkansas took advantage of Texas A&M's defense the week before to kind of look fairly, you know, impressive offensively. I mean, the Gators have got a really good defense as well. I mean, they're ranked second in the nation in total defense. Offensively, though, Florida's nearly last. So, again, the Gators, they've got their hands full moving the football. And of course, one of the first big games for this weekend will be is Florida at LSU. And I think everybody's going to be looking at that. I've seen LSU's offense. I was really impressed with how many points they scored at Starkville against, I thought, a fairly big physical Mississippi State defense. And they hung 59 on Mississippi State. I'm thinking the Gators are coming into Tiger Stadium and they're going to go back to the swamp with their first SEC loss, second loss of the year. I mean, this is going to be an interesting game here, guys. I think if Florida can hold LSU under 30, that will be some more defensive performance. I'm going with LSU to beat Florida. I'm not going to pick a score, but it's going to be a real battle. Florida's offense has struggled, but LSU's defense has struggled. So this may be setting up for a great football game in Tiger Stadium. Of course, Georgia won a game that they probably shouldn't have won, and also it came at a great price. They lost their backup tailback, Keith Marshall, to a season-ending injury, and they lost, I think, at least one receiver to a season-ending injury. So Georgia's extremely beat up. I mean, they were fortunate to beat Tennessee. Tennessee did some things that I think that really, I mean, Tennessee should have won that football game. Georgia's, you know, limping into, they are playing at home, but they're going to play an undefeated, there's two undefeated teams in the SEC right now, Missouri and Alabama. I'm not sure many people would have picked Missouri, although Missouri's, their first five games have been pretty light. Although going to Vanderbilt and jumping on the doors like they did in Nashville is fairly impressive, especially being that it's Missouri. I'm not ready to call Missouri upset over Georgia, but I am going to put this game on my upset alert. I mean, Missouri's offense is moving the ball. They're like seventh in the country, and they haven't really been tested. I mean, they're rested. Georgia's beat up. Georgia struggled a few weeks ago at home with North Texas. Again, I'm sure they were looking ahead, but I just think that this is going to be an awfully close game. If Georgia comes out and is able to move the ball and stop Missouri and win it in an impressive fashion, I will be impressed with Mark Richt. South Carolina, of course, continues to do what they have to do to win. There was that controversy with Clowney not wanting to play, and then Coach Spurrier saying some things. And then I saw where later in the week he said, hey, we're lucky to have the kid here. So I don't know what all is going on with that. South Carolina, though, we're going to find out, I think, more about Arkansas. Really, how far has Arkansas come? Because Arkansas will have faced the best offense in the conference, Texas A&M, and then the best defense in the conference statistically in Florida. So nothing South Carolina is going to do coming there is going to intimidate them. Now, Steve Spurrier has won these games in the past. I'm still going with South Carolina to win this one. Again, this is an upset alert, though. It wouldn't surprise me if the Pigs found a way to beat South Carolina if South Carolina doesn't pick up their game. Alabama, you know, took care of Georgia State, which, you know, wasn't really a ball game. They traveled to Lexington. This is a better Kentucky team than I've seen in the past, and the fact that they got down in Columbia, South Carolina, and came back and made a game out of it with the Gamecocks, I just don't think – I mean, Alabama's defense is just too talented for Kentucky to sustain any kind of drives and get any points. I mean, maybe Kentucky gets 10, 14 maybe, but I think Alabama runs away with this one, three touchdowns at least. Now, of course, the big game for me this week is, besides Auburn, Western Carolina, which really hopefully is over before it gets started. But I'm really interested to see what Texas A&M traveling to Oxford, what they can do. I mean, you got to hand it to the Rebels. I mean, they played Texas on the road. Alabama on the road, Auburn on the road before now coming home and finally getting home, but now you got Johnny Football coming to town. So, like I say, I mean, Ole Miss is battle-tested. I mean, they're going to have played a defense that was a lot better than what A&M's got in Alabama. You know, I think playing us on the road helped them, and they kept battling, never quit. So it's going to be interesting to see if Ole Miss against that A&M offense can really put some points on the board. I mean, if you can match, obviously, A&M touchdown for touchdown, then you can stay in there with them. I don't think they stopped Johnny Football, but they may have had like Johnny Light when they faced Nick last Saturday night. But obviously Manziel's in a class by himself. I'm gonna go with A&M to win this game, but like I say, I'm interested to see if Ole Miss can show me anything that maybe gives Auburn a little hope before we travel out to College Station. Well, we've reached that portion of the show where we like to reach out and talk to an Auburn grad from across the globe. And this week, coming to us from France, and I'm not sure I can pronounce that hometown, but I'm going to leave it to our guest to tell us that. But our guest this week is Naval Blank. Did I say that right?
First, thank you for the invitation to be on your wonderful podcasting show. I am so excited to be here. Now, for my location, it is Argenton, and that is in France. And for my name, monsieur, you're so very, very close. Well, okay, not really. That is quite opposite from the truth, because you are very far off. The correct pronunciation is Blanc. Naval Blanc. But I will give you a very good score for that valiant effort. I can't imagine anyone named, as you say, Blank. You know any poor sap with that name? Who could have that name, Blank?
The great Looney Tunes voice over a guy, Mel Blanc. Do you know Mel?
No, I do not know. Now, the Looney Tunes, who is that exactly?
Oh, you don't know who I'm talking about. Well, he created some Looney Tunes, which you may not know what Looney Tunes is.
No.
Maybe you've heard of the French Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew. How about that, Naval? Does that ring a bell?
Yes. Now, Pepe Le Pew. Now, that is something I have been familiar with, the Pepe. He is the cartoon skunk who mistakes a cat for an animal of his own species, another skunk. And he is odoriferous to the cat, no? Yes, that is very funny, very funny.
Right, right. Well, at least you have heard of him.
Yes.
So, Naval, I see that you had your undergraduate degree at Auburn in radio, TV, film, and communications, and you went on and pursued a graduate degree, and actually you got your doctorate in audiology.
That's correct, yes.
So I guess I should call you Dr. Blah.
I suppose that would be correct, or maybe incorrect. I can't decide.
I'm just going to have to say Blank. I'm drawing a blank on blank.
Stop it, monsieur. You are too funny for my bones. my funny bone, or whatever it is you say there.
Well, Naval, what is your question this week for AUFans.com?
My question?
Your football question.
Oh, yes, right. You've thrown me off with all this funny stuff. My groove is off. Okay, so here's my questions. This past week, as Auburn played the team you would call Ole Miss, I've heard some talk about coaches being familiar with each other. Friends, in fact, they are friends. So, you think Coach Malzahn changed some plays or things around maybe because of that? Maybe some trick plays in there, eh? And the other thing I was wondering about is that the defense is playing so very well, and we seem to be putting lots of pressure or something on their teams this week. and I don't think I had seen that before. So, do you know where was it coming from? Did we blitz a lot? Was it part of the quarterback doing the rushing so much? What is your opinion on how that was happening?
Okay, Naval, those are two interesting questions, two interesting observations about the game Saturday night. Yes, Nick Marshall did run the football, as I mentioned earlier in the show, a lot more than what he's been doing. There was some talk about there might be, you know, with these two coaches knowing each other, what kind of new wrinkles would they put in the offense? Well, Auburn didn't appear to run a lot of different, any kind of different trick plays, if you will, but Nick Marshall on that read play where he's been giving the ball a lot. Now, Nick had run, you know, rushed the ball some, but Saturday night against Ole Miss, he really showed what he can do when he's healthy. There is some concern, you know, he might have banged his knee up a little bit there at the end, but he was keeping the ball. He was reading the defensive end and keeping the ball a lot, and, of course, he just – out in the open field showed why he was as highly recruited a junior college player as he was. Now, how did we get so much pressure? Obviously, playing Carl Lawson, he's a true freshman. I saw some folks ask about that, and they said that, you know, just like with any true freshman, Naval, I mean, game experience, and each week you can get better and better, and the light's really coming on for Carl right now as far as his assignments. He's being able to just play, you know, without thinking about it so much. I mean, his assignments are coming to him, you know, second nature, and he's just taking off. And toward the end there, he was, you know, he had like a couple sacks there at the end of the game.
Yes.
And throughout the game, Auburn's whole defensive front put pressure on him. Coach Garner works him hard. I mean, I think that his reputation precedes him, and I think it's just starting to show the hard work that these guys are doing, and they're getting more and more comfortable. You're just seeing, you know, the results of that. I don't know if there was any kind of specific technique involved that they ran, you know, Saturday night that they haven't been running. But anyway, so, you know, just again, overall defensive pressure from the defensive tackles even, and that just opens it up for everybody.
Well, very good. I appreciate your thoughts on these matters, and I look forward to the game coming up this Saturday. War Eagle.
War Eagle to you, too.
At least for this one, I won't be trying to see it in the middle of the night, since we're 7 hours ahead of Alabama.
Wow. I did not know that.
This time it will only be evening when I see Auburn play instead of the middle of the night. But thank you for allowing me to ask questions.
Again, Naval, thanks for those questions, and thanks for calling us. I hope things will continue to go well over there in France, and vive la France to you, my friend and fellow Auburn graduate. War Eagle, thanks for joining us.
War Eagles to you. Merci beaucoup. That means I thank you very much. I sure had fun, monsieur.
Well, that does it again for this week's show. I want to thank again everybody for joining us here at AUFans.com. Again, on the since you're at the site, put your email address in there on that homepage so that you can be notified when we do post a show. And if you want to, you know, if you like anything that's being said on here, you know, share it with some other Auburn fans. We try to keep it pretty upbeat and that sort of thing. But anyway, join us again next week. We'll start looking ahead toward Texas A&M. We'll talk a little bit about the Western Carolina game and look around the conference as usual. And we'll have to see who the surprise AU grad guest will be next week. So, again, War Eagle, everybody. Have a safe week. Take care.
This has been an AU Fans podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.